KALW.
I'm here because I don't have anywhere else to go. We've been pushed out of everywhere.
For Oaklanders seeking shelter underneath the highway, what do you do when your belongings are taken away?
Think I'd still be here? Complaining and crying and like trying to get them to not brush my stuff?
An update on the encampment sweeps under the 880. Then a young singer from Oakland writes about healing after heartbreak.
It's really about like growing with your pain and like learning from it. Instead of dwelling in it, it's like every single painful moment and experience teaches us something.
And a Black former Navy man who's nearly 100 years old reflects on the discrimination he faced.
And it so happened, when they needed an opening for promotion, it was a white woman came in and we became friends. But after 6 months, she got the promotion.
Another installment of 80 Over 80. That's coming up. I'm Hena Baba, and this is Cross Currents. Today, we've got a story to share from our project, Hey Area, where you ask questions and our reporters find the answers. People experiencing homelessness have set up encampments under the 880 in many spots along the freeway. One of those is where it passes over West Oakland. And earlier this year, a federal appeals judge ruled that Caltrans would be allowed to clear them out. One of our listeners wanted an update on the encampment sweeps. KALW's Jasmine Ramirez hit the streets to find out what's been going on.
Whether it be from the simple high cost of living to a medical disability that leaves you out of work, owning a home has become a hard-to-reach dream for a lot of people.
One of my jobs, I'm fell off the roof and I broke my back. I'm failed to pay the rent. You know, the people were supposed to help me, doesn't help me, and that's the sad history, you know.
This is Tommy. Along with him are many other Oaklanders who have created a home in secluded areas like near freeways.
And have you ever thought about staying in a shelter?
I am in the street, but I have two trailers.
He lives in an RV with his girlfriend. Two of his friends live in the RV park next door. Together, they have formed a community right across the 880 overpass in West Oakland.
But yeah, no, I got some good neighbor, you know. Well, few guys over here. You know, I've been here in Oakland, West Oakland, for like 32 years, yeah.
The city took a couple of steps to reduce the high number of people seeking shelter outside. One was the creation of the Homeless Encampment Management Team, or EMT. The EMT is made up of different, if not all, departments within the city. The EMT's job is to, well, manage encampments. They do this by providing cleanups, porta-potties, and outreach services. If an encampment begins to grow too large or there's some sort of health or safety hazard, the EMT will step in. Another step was to shelter 29% of the homeless population with Project Room Key. The city of Oakland is continuously looking to buy more hotels, but some residents usually aren't too fond of the idea for their neighborhoods. So, what about the 71% that are left unsheltered? I went back to the encampment on Wood Street after a fire broke out in early April this year, and I met Lydia just as Caltrans employees were sweeping her stuff.
They tore down this fence. They decided that the property line was further in. They tore up my compound last week, stole almost everything I had. So up until this morning, there was a fence right here, and everybody's understanding was that that side was Caltrans and this side was city property.
Back in 2016, Caltrans settled a lawsuit for illegally throwing away people's belongings. Some terms of the settlement included giving a 72-hour notice prior to a sweep. Additionally, Caltrans was required to tag and store away any personal belongings that may have been left unattended. They also have to provide a phone number, which people can call to retrieve their belongings.
They told the bulldozer guy to crush all of my stuff that's on the other side of the fence.
But that might not always be the case.
I just talked to the debris box operator. He said, yeah, straight to the dump. And that's
against. Lydia said she did receive a 48-hour notice, but couldn't get all her stuff out on time. She had built a home using the 880 ramps for shelter.
I'm here because I don't have anywhere else to go. So is everybody else. We've been pushed out of everywhere, like so many times.
Caltrans has jurisdiction over the state's highways and exit ramps. And because the land around freeway ramps seems somewhat empty, homeless encampments tend to gravitate towards those areas.
Has the city offered you any other resources?
Think I'd still be here? Complaining and crying and like trying to get them to not crush my stuff? Like my stuff would be in housing.
It turns out there's not a lot of options. Most shelters have a long waiting list worked by referrals, and referrals usually require meeting certain criteria.
And this violates the encampment management policy, saying that people need to be offered services.
The homeless encampment policy was drawn up in 2020. It specified where encampments can and cannot be. This included how large they can get. High-sensitive areas are where encampments are not allowed. This includes parks with playgrounds or in the way of residences and businesses. If the closure of an encampment is needed, residents must be offered alternative housing. So, where do people go when there isn't anywhere to go?
One time they cleared out, they took all my property, and that was enough for me. I came over on city property.
Oh. Yeah,
so, that was one loss was enough.
This is Rice. He used to live right under Highway 880. But after Caltrans swept all his belongings a couple years ago, he decided to move across the lot, away from Caltrans' jurisdiction.
All my family pictures, all my family stuff, just wiped it out, took it, you know, bulldozed it. Stuff I had for my grandkids, for my kids, gone. You know, not so much as the material things as personal things. They can't be replaced. Material stuff can always be replaced, but the memories can't be, you know? So it's tragic in that sense.
I reached out to Caltrans trying to get answers to some questions. Questions regarding their property line, protocols for storing people's belongings, things like that. After a couple of attempts, I got back a statement saying Caltrans will continue to work with social service providers who can connect people with shelter options and services. And in mid-April, Governor Gavin Newsom took his own tour of the encampment on Wood Street to evaluate the living conditions. He stated that the California Blueprint added a $2 billion investment in behavioral health housing and encampment rehousing strategies. Investments will go towards transforming Medi-Cal to be more accessible for people living on the streets. And more than 50,000 new housing units and treatment slots will be added in California once the plan has been fully executed. It's a project that can take years. So for folks like Tommy, Lydia, and Rice, who are homeless now, where should they go?
We'll see what happens. I don't know, you know. I'm just waiting to see what the city's going to do about us.
In Oakland, I'm Jasmine Armitas for Cross Currents.
Jasmine is a fellow in our Audio Academy training program, and that story is part of our collaborative reporting project, Hey Area. You can find more stories like it and ask your own questions at kelw.org/heyarea. You're listening to Cross Currents from KALW News. I'm Hannah Baba. Breakups can be hard, but sometimes beauty emerges from a broken heart. Oakland singer and songwriter Satya turned to music after a devastating end to a relationship. Her debut EP is called Flourish Against Fracture, and it includes mellow, soulful tracks about healing and returning to self-love. Satya will be performing in Oakland this week, so we thought it'd be a perfect time to revisit a conversation with her from our archives. KLW's Janae Darden spoke with Satya last June. Here's Janae.
So I'm already biased because you grew up in Oakland, right?
Yes, I grew up in Oakland.
And you went to Oakland School for the Arts, right?
Yes. I went to Oakland School for the Arts for high school. And that, like, oh my God, I am so, so grateful that I went there. That was, like, I don't know, one of the most, like, enriching experiences. And it was really beautiful to be able to, basically from your morning to the afternoon, it's your academic classes. And then from the afternoon to, you know, around, like, 4 p.m., it was all arts-based, which, I mean, I think and, like, believe any high school should just incorporate arts like that. But definitely growing up, that was just like so amazing to have, you know, just to look forward to every day.
When did you start writing music?
I started writing my own music, I think my senior year of high school. But I always think about it because I feel like I've been writing forever. And I don't think it was till like really my junior year of high school that I was like, oh. And then, yeah, in high school, once I really started playing guitar, I started kind of coming up with my own chord progressions more. And then I realized once I went back into my journals and like really looked at my writing, I realized that a lot of it was like poetry. And I began to kind of like mend the two.
And like the seasons, I know we change.
Your name's Satya. What does that mean? Does it mean anything?
So it means truth. My mom picked the name. It's a Sanskrit word.
And you're very open in your music.
Yeah.
So you know, because I know different cultures, you name your child what you want them to become. And so you're very open and honest in your songs.
Thank you. I've always like known the meaning of my name, but especially this year too, again, with being quarantined and spending so much time by myself, I've really thought about, yeah, like what the actual word means to me and how powerful, you know, just truth is. And that's something that I'm so drawn to in so many areas of life too. So I'm very happy that you found it, that that's coming out in my music too.
When did you get into music? It was before, I imagine, before you went to OSA.
Yeah. I've been in music since I was born, like literally like since I can remember. I feel like I was always surrounded by music. My mom was a dancer and she danced for like Alvin Ailey. So we went, I feel like I was around that genre a lot. And, you know, a lot of my siblings are very artistic and, you know, if not music, also just like visual arts. So I don't know. I feel like art was always like a very important part of my life growing up. But when I was really little, I remember I was in different choirs.
Your debut EP, Flourish Against Fracture.
Yeah.
I love that title. What inspired this music, this title, Flourish Against Fracture?
So I wrote all of those songs, again, it was like my senior year of high school. I was going through a lot. I was really going through a lot. Just the title of it, Flourish Against Fracture, like I swear, like every year I find more meaning to it, especially this year. But it's really about like growing with your pain and like learning from it. Instead of dwelling in it, it's like every single painful moment and experience teaches us something. Just for me, just writing in itself is so important to me and so healing. And it's such an important part of like my day-to-day like practice, just to feel okay and level-headed. And so I really thought about it as, yeah, since writing is such a healing process for me and writing those songs were just very, very healing. I remember once we really had the EP and I listened through everything, it almost like gave me like a sense of closure, and I realized that writing that I really healed myself from it, and I really grew from a lot of like these painful experiences that I was writing about.
Like, what were some of the things you were that had caused you pain that you grew from?
I don't really think of it. It wasn't really one thing. I was going through a lot at home. It was about me like really learning about myself with like relationships, you know, about getting hurt in relationships.
Mm-hmm.
That was a part of it. Another part, like one song off of the EP that's really important to me is Hollow. And I was also writing a lot about like my experience of being a woman and being a Black woman. And I think too, like, I think I was probably like 17, 18. I think that was when I was also really coming into myself and really like beginning to learn how to reflect. And I was noticing, you know, how I was being perceived in the world and how I was being treated in my life.
I was watching your video, Summertime. I hear the music, I hear the voice, but just also the aesthetics of that video. Where was it filmed and what inspired the concept?
So it was filmed in San Diego. Listening to the song again, and I was like, this song is such an intimate song. And you know, with everything else, with like the locations that we set up, with like me on the couch, me on like in a bathtub, like all of these things are very intimate moments. The song is about sharing it with somebody, so I really wanted to also capture that.
Tell me about Soil. I like this song.
Okay, so like when I think back to when I was in kindergarten, my teacher was super musical and she would always sing all of these songs like to start our day. And there was one song that she always sang and it was like inch by inch, row by row, gotta make it good and grow. And that has just been like etched into my brain. Like just that always, like the thought of that moment, it just really makes me so nostalgic. And I remember I wrote this song my senior year. I was in like a really weird place in my life. It was also weird. I was like getting ready to move out. I didn't really know where I was going to go to school yet. A lot of my friends were going through it. And I remember one day I came home and I was like, I'm going to write a song to myself. And so I wrote Soil to myself. It's basically about, you know, like taking it one day at a time. And it was kind of there for me to, I guess, like remind myself that there is beauty in so much, and, you know, growth and healing just really does take time.
That was singer Satya speaking with KELW's Janae Darden. That interview first aired in June 2021. Satya will be performing in Oakland this Thursday at the New Parish. We've got all the information at KELW.org. This is Cross Currents. I'm Henat Baba. May is Older Americans Month, and we've been celebrating with a series that profiles San Franciscans who are 80 and older. It's 80 over 80 San Francisco.
A lot of things have changed. A lot of things have not.
My time is short now. I can't be bothered with people I don't like.
Charles George is nearly 100 years old. He came to San Francisco during his time with the Navy, and he spoke with the 80 over 80 Project about a career that subjected him to discrimination as a Black man. Here's Charles.
My name is Charles P. George, and my age is 98. I always tried to be pleasant with people. A lot of times, maybe things may not be going so good for me. I really don't want to share it with others. I try to keep a nice attitude with everybody. If I make somebody else feel bad, that's the way I feel about life. I just try to think one day at a time. That's all it is right now. One day at a time. And I'm surrounded by a lot of friends. I have people call me all the time, talk, so nice to talk with you. And I like that. So we like a chance to talk with you over and over and over. I found a job in 630 Sansom Street. The meat inspector left the Department of Agriculture. Mr. Greer, who was in charge of the lab, thing went fine. And over time, some of the top people left, and I took over most of the lab work. And it so happened, when they needed an opening for promotion, There was a white woman came in, Kimonetsky, from Ukraine. And we became friends and everything. But after six months, she got the promotion. Okay, so I worked right along with her. Within a year or so, she became pregnant. And so the job was still there, you know, the work, all the same. After about a year, I didn't get the promotion. I was still doing the regular top work, you know, running the lab. So I applied for the job with the Oakland Army Base. They gave me the job. Then they said, well, we need you to take these papers back to your job to get, you know, get them signed, and then we could. Instead of signing the paper, somebody called me on the phone and said, this is the personnel office. If the Department of Agriculture agrees to give you the same position that you would get at Oakland Army Base, will you stay? And I did. When Mr. Greer came back, he was very cold to me. Didn't say anything, or didn't even say maybe, well, I wish you had done it this way. Nothing. I said for about a year. I said, I just didn't like the atmosphere. It just was cold. I'd go and do my work and everything. So I said, well, it's best for me to look around again. So I told Mr. Greer that I'd found another job. And I had a party, everything for me. And at the end of the party, Mr. Greer said, Charles, be sure to come back and see us. And so, well, here's what I told Mr. Greer. I'll never darken your door again. So I didn't. What surprised me, if you get out there trying to do something, you'll be surprised. Something will come along and help you. Somebody or something will come. That's what keeps you going. Okay, I go back to my father. He always taught me to be fair. He said, in life, you know, you go up, going up, going up. You pass these people on the way up. You don't want to hurt anybody. Be nice to people as you go up. Because when you come back down, you're going to come by the same people. I thought about that. He said, you rise up. Yeah, he wasn't the best father, but that's one thing he taught me. Try to be honest, fair.
That was San Francisco senior Charles George, interviewed for the 80 Over 80 San Francisco Project. The lead audio producer is Ozzie Linus Goodman. Anna Chodos is the project director. You can find more voices from San Franciscans who are over 80 at KELW.org. Cross Currents is off tomorrow for the SFUSD board meeting, but tune in Wednesday at 5. We'll meet intergenerational soul psychedelic funk bandmates.
You know, never give up, never stop doing what you love, because, you know, music is like our sunlight, so we need that to bloom.
The Chambers brothers, Lester Chambers, and his son Dylan talk about their band Moon Alice. That's Wednesday at 5. Today's Cross Currents team includes Kristen McCandless, Angela Johnston, Aaron Kopp, Elizabeth Aranda, James Rollins, Gabe Graben, Victor Tense, Shia Levitt, Sunni Khaled, and Ben Trefney. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet, as interpreted by Daoud Anthony. For Cross Currents, I'm Hanat Baba. I have no place to stay.